All right, we are 12 lines from the top. First one was Hayhi Itza. Yeah, okay. So Hayhi Itza, a certain story about a certain woman, the Naflula Arba Me'azuzei Bechozai. She lives in Bechozai, and she received 400 zuz as like a Yerusha. Azo Gavra Afik Shismeya. So a man, meaning a husband, went to spend 600 zuz in order to like retrieve the 400, right? So she gets these 400 as a field or whatever it was, and he goes and spends 600 zuz just to go be able to retrieve that money. Rashi is Chozai. It's like 10 lines from the bottom of the skinny lines. Right, Shem Makom, it's a place. V'hayir Rachel came in, it was far away. V'hayir Mafik Alei Shismeya B'holeches HaDerech Mishalo, or B'hotzas HaDerech Mishalo. The point is that he was spent all that money, right, even more money than the Nichzim Milug themselves, just to be able to get them. So, it's fine. Avik Shismeya. So, I see Arbameya B'hari Deka'asi. And Srichle Chad Zuza. So once he was there, he needed another Zuz to like, you know, whatever he needed to do to continue to get the 600 or whatever he was, you know, part of his travel expenses, whatever it was, he needed another Zuz. So what did he do? So he took Vishakal Minayu. So he took it from the Nechse Miluk. Right? So the point is that he had spent the 600 in order to get the 400. We clearly had, at this point, had not taken anything from the 400. And then he needed one more, so he took one from the 400. Right? One zuz. So Asla Kamed Rabbi Ami, and then they got divorced. That's the assumption. So afterwards, they got divorced. So now the question is, did he spend any of the Nechzei Miluk? Right? So Asla Kamed Rabbi Ami, Amle, Masha Hotzi Hotzi, Masha Achah, sorry. You spent some money, and you used some of her money. So that's the end. So then, you know, we don't split it equal at that point. Once you used even kima, right, a small amount, so that's the end. You don't get to get your hotzos back. So even though it's spent all 600 zuz just to even acquire the 400. So Amalei Rabban Rabbi Ami, they said they were a little upset with him. Hani mili heche de ka'acha pira, ha'karna ka'acha, v'otzahi. Right, so they said, wait a second. That whole conversation, right, that we say that if as long as he spent even a kima, even a small amount, he's going to give up, you know, getting back all his tzotzos. That's when he has collected from the peros of the Nechzei Miluk. Here he took from the keren, and right? He took from the actual Nechzei Miluk themselves, right? And l'chora he was going to have to pay that back, right? And since he was going to have to pay it back, it's considered a hotzah, right? And so therefore, he didn't really take from Nechzei Miluk. He sort of borrowed money from the Karen, which he was going to have to pay back anyways, in which case it's Ki'ilu, he didn't take any of the Paris at all. So the Bach adds Amrlei, he said back to him, Imkeim, Havalei Hotzi, Velo Achal, Yishba, Kama Hotzi, V'yita. Fine. So he says, you're right, I didn't realize, I don't know if he didn't realize, whatever. He says, okay, fine, that's the case. Then it's like a case of a person who was, who never ate, never used the Paris at all, in which case he's able to take his Hotzos back. Fine. So now that we are at the end of this question, Yishba kama hotzi v'yito, right, which is the end of our, what we said, that's the language at the end of our Mishnah, that when it's come to take back his hotzos, if he didn't use any of the peiros of Nechzei Miluk, so he takes a shvua and takes back whatever he was motzi. So the question is, what does that look like? So Amar bi'asi, v'hu sheyesh shevach keneged hotza. So that this idea of taking a shvua and getting back one shehotzi, that's only if there was some type of shevach, some type of added value that was added, you know, keneged the hotza. And the question is, what does that mean, keneged the hotza? What does it mean, shevach keneged hotza? So the Gemara says, l'may hilchasa, what do you mean? Right? Look at Rashi for a second. L'may hilchasa. L'may hilchasa ka'amar. Meaning, what's the nafkamina? What does it mean? You're going to take, you know, shevach keneged yitzia. So, v'hu shehaya shevach, what does it mean? La kule alei? Does that mean, like, is that a kula? Di'ika shvach Tvei lo bai shua, meaning there's a lot of, if he spent money and it ended up, let's say, improving her field, right? So does that mean that now he doesn't have to take a shua to get his money back, right? Oh, I mean, when you said take a shavua and then take the hotzos, take the hotzos, and that's when there's a shvach. I mean, oh, like a chiddush, like if you a kula, like if you improve the land, so now when you take your shua, you'll get even the shevach back also, right? And you don't even need a shua for that. Or is that going to be a chumrah? Well, the meimra di yitzia yisera, that if the amount that you spent, right, was more than the value actually went up, lo shakil ela kishir shvach, then you only get to take how much it went up, right? Vafilu b'shua lo amrinan yishba kama hotzi v'yitol. Meaning, and what we're saying is that when we say take a shua and take washa hotzi, doesn't really mean what you spent. It means what you can collect back, which is just a shvach, right? Which is that would be a chumrah. So what do we mean? So go back to the Gemara. So Amar Abaye, Shim Haya Shevach Yeser Al Hotza. Abaye says it means that if the Shvach, the amount that you improved the field, let's say for example, is greater than the amount of money that you spent. So you spent $1,000 to improve the field and it went up in value $5,000. Note that as Hotza below Shua. So you can take at least the $1,000 you put in, so you can get without a Shua. So that's like the Kula argument, right? Meaning we say Yishba kama hotzi v'yitol. So if the shevach was more than hotza, then you don't need a shvua. You can just take what you spent. So Amalei Rava im kain asalarume goes. Rava says, wait a second, that's not such a good idea. Because if you say, right, if I spent $1,000 and the shevach was $5,000, you say, okay, fine. Without a shvua, you can get the hotza. Why? Because as long as it's less than the shevach. So what's the person going to do? I say, oh, no problem. I spent $4,999. Right, and people are going to start lying about how much they spent because they're going to be able to collect that without a shua even. Right, so that's you're going to lead to haram if that's what the story is. Right, so amalei rava im ella amarava shim haisa hot. So what does it mean? Shim haisa hotza yisera ala shvach. Let's say I spent $1,000 and only went up $800. Right, ein lo ella hotza shir shvach ubeshua. No, so it means something much less, which is that if the hotza was more than the shevach, right? So then you can only get whatever the shevach was. So if you put $1,000, only went up $800, you can only get the $800 back, and you have to take a shua in order to get it back. Fine. Look at Rashi. Ela Amar Rav, the first white line of Rashi. Had Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Asi, I should say. Yeah, had Rabbi Asi la chmura ele. Right, it's a chumra. You're not going to get everything you remote. Ella min hayetzia yachziru lo shir hashvach. So that means like keneged hashvach. You get out what you put in, as long as it's as much as that.
It's capped at
whatever the shvach was. Yeah, ubeshua, right? Sheyashpi uhu shekach hotzi, and you have to take a shua that you put in that amount of money. Okay. So Ibailhu, Gemara has a question. Baal Shahorid Arisan Tahtav. Mahu. What happens if the husband takes his wife's property and she has a field and he says, you know what? Let's let a sharecropper go in and work in this field. Right? He'll work it, he'll make money, he'll produce crops, etc. I'll let him go in, but he doesn't ask her permission, right? So the Baal sends the Aris into the field, and instead of him, he won't take care of it, but he'll have the Aris take care of it. So Mahom, what's going to be the halacha? Meaning, what's the Aris going to get paid? Is the Aris going to get paid, or it's going to work? So I died to the Baal Nachis, right? Istalik le Baal, istalik lehu. Oh, Dilma, I died to the Ara Nachis, the Ara ki kaima la rise kaima. So there's a difference between how an aris gets paid and how the husband gets paid, right? The husband gets paid with, he just gets the peros, right? The aris gets the peros, and the or an aris in general also gets the, again, the shvach, that he allows the field to improve. So look at Rashi. Shehorid arisin benichse ishto, litol mechza o shlish. Right, he says, you go work the field and you'll take half of what I get or whatever. Va'amar v'girsha, and then he divorces her. Right, misha achal kima, again after having only used some of it. Right. So now there was a Irish working the field, and they got divorced now, and so he has nothing to do with the field anymore, and he used some of it. So mahu she yitluha arisin kivi shifcham. Can the Irish collect the amount that they again improve the field? That's what the Irish usually gets paid. Right. So do we say I died to the Baal Nachias Rashi who hichnisam velohi? The husband paid for them. Right. Well, he let them. Sorry. The husband gave them permission and not her. Right? So once the husband leaves, how much does the husband get? Nothing. Right? So same thing, they should get nothing. Same thing like him. Sorry. They were sitting in his place. So once he walks away from the relationship, he walks away from the payers too. The payers also should have the same halacha. Or do we say, no, la rise kaima. She's not working the field. So she would have paid it a separate, she would have arranged for an aris herself. So maybe say that this aris, you know, is just a stand-in for her, not the stand-in for him. Because anyway, she would have hired someone, she would have brought in someone like that herself. So what do we say? So it says Gemara. Right, so let's go back to the answer. We had said Maho, and the Gemara said gave two sides. I died to the Baal Nachis, right? Who? Oh, Dilma, I died to the Ari Nachis, the Ari ki kaime la rise kaime. Right, so do you say he gets nothing, like the husband gets nothing when the husband walks away? Or do you say he gets paid like an Aris for the Shvach that he gave to the land? So mask if la Rava, by Rav Chanan, Maishna, Mihayori, Lesoch Sadei, Chavera, Vinata, Shalom Rishis. Maybe this is just like a person who goes into his friend's field without permission, and he starts planting there, right? So shamin lo v'yado al tachtona. In such a case, what do we say about that person? We look how much they added, but at the end of the day, they get you know, they're on the losing side, right? Because they came in without permission, like a Rashi. Shamin lo v'yado al tachtona lito hotayitzia kishir shvach. Right, in order to collect what he helped produce. Kedam v'metzia b'ashoa v'hacha amar b'ali skule lislukei below klum. Meaning in that case, we at least say for the guy who shows up in someone's field, it's kind of a funny case, that he shows up in someone's field without permission, and then he adds, benefit to the field, or adds value, he does it to collect something, right? He's yadal tachtona, but he collects something. So maybe you can argue, if that guy collects something, so certainly Arish is no worse than that, right? So it says, well, a little different. Hasam leke inish tatarach. Haka ikabal tatarach. Yeah, but there, I'll tell you why he gets at least some. He gets something because there was nobody there to take care of the field. Rashi says leke elaman de tarach re'e zesh shelo haya ish mashpicha, right? V'yarad lehen umahav sidan. They didn't lose anything, and there was no one there to take care of it. So what did they lose? Hilkach yetzia shir shvach mihas yaidle. So okay, fine. So he didn't have permission, but he improved your field. So let him get what he improved. You don't lose. It's sort of like a zenen of zelo chaser, like that. You know, a little different. But the point is that the owner of the field loses nothing, so why not allow the guy to collect at least what he added, right? But in this case, hacha ikabal, right? She atriach behen. There was someone else who could have worked the field for nothing, right? For amalhu ilo nachtiso asun ihu avid. If you wouldn't have showed up, Mr. Aris, my husband would have been working the field. V'lohav shakal hashtamidi, and I wouldn't have to pay him anything. That's part of the deal. So here you could argue that the Aris should get nothing because she has a husband who otherwise could have been taking care of the field. And therefore, maybe these guys should collect zero. So my havila, so how do we pass again? So Amar Rav Huna, Brady Rav Yeshua, Chazinan, we have to see. Ibal Aris hu, istalakle baal, istalakle hu. Ibal lav Aris hu, Aris ara la rise kaima. But it depends on what the husband's like. If the husband's the type of guy who knows his way around Home Depot, and he would have known how to take care of things, and he would have been a person who would have taken care of the field. So then if they come in his place, yikes, then she lost out because she could have gotten away with having to pay zero. But if he's the type of guy who, doesn't know anything about working a field, and he never would have done anything, so then the land was la rise kaima. It was kind of ready for someone to come work it anyways, in which case, again, they should get paid at least for the shvach that they added to the land. Fine. Okay, Ibailu, next question. Baal shemachar karka leperos mo. What happens if the husband takes the look at Rashi shemachar karka leperos? Bottom line of Rashi machar laachirim karka milug shiaseh halokeach v'yochal peros. So let's say he's entitled to the peros of the nichsa milug. So let's say he sells somebody the rights to those peiros, right? Or even more, he sells the land, right? So the owner, so that the purchaser should then be able to acquire the peiros. But the point being, he basically sells his rights to the peiros, right, to somebody else. So what happens if he sells that land for that purpose to somebody else? So in theory, it belongs to him. The peiros belong to him. On the other hand, the land isn't really his. Right, so me, I'm reading on my de kone la akne. Do we say whatever the person was kone, they were kone? Odilma kita kinu rabbanon tikinu le rabbanon peiros labal mishum ravcha besa aval azune lo. Do we say, look, it's lemaisa, it's his, so you can sell it. If something belongs to you, you can sell it. Or do you say, no, the reason why we allowed the husband to get the peiros, why, was to continue to keeping in the finances in the family good. So he's allowed to continue to, you know, keep the peiros in the house, then good. But to sell them, that's not his to do, right? Mishum Rav from the Beis, Rashi says, Sheyachnis ha-peiros le-beiso, ve-ha-mazon ha-bayis matzui ve-yeitivla. It should be good for her also, right? But just to sell it, that's not something that should be allowed. So Yehuda mar, bar merei mar, mishmei derava amar, masha asa asa. So Yehuda bar merei mar, in the name of Rava says, you know, the sale is a sale. Rav Papa Amar, right, the back changes it to Rav Papi, it says, Mishmei de Rava, lo asav lachum. No, what you did, you did nothing. Okay. So Amar Rav Papa, had Yehuda, mar, bar, merei mar, la befeirishit mar, ele mecholet mer. You know, you have a machlokas, what he said, right? You have a machlokas about it. So why is that? Because he didn't say anything befeirish. There's a story, right? And through the story, there's two different ways of interpreting the story. So it was mechol. So why? He is a certain woman. The Ayla le legavra tarte amasa. So what happened? The woman got married to a man. And when she got married, she brought two maidservants into the marriage. And it's as nechse miluk. These are amahos. Maidservants as nechse miluk. So al legavra nasiv itza achrize. The man then went and married a second wife. Ayla la chadaminayu. And what did he do? He took one of the maidservants that his wife number one had brought into the house. He took one of them and gave him to his second wife. Okay, so Asai lekame de Rava. So she came to Rava tzavcha, right, and she was screaming. She, the first wife, comes screaming to Rava like, "What? I can't believe it! He took my nichsei milug and gave them to my tzara, to the second wife. What a chutzpah!" So lo ishkach be. He didn't listen there. Okay, so man de chaza saver mishum de saver masha asa asway. So if you're just watching the story, what do you think? I'll tell you why he didn't do anything, because he thought what was done is done. That's it. You know, that meaning the kinyan was a good kinyan. Once he now has his nichsei miluk, he can do with them what he pleases, right? And that, why is he not listening to her? Because your husband, they belong to him in a certain sense, the peiros, the usage in this case of the maidservant, so he can do what he wants with it. Veloi, but that wasn't the case, right? Rather, what's the reason why he allowed it? Mishum ravach besa v'hakaravach, right? Because the reason for nichsei milug is so that your household can be used. Is this maidservant being used in the household? The answer is yes, just not for her, right? But used for someone else in the household. And since that's the purpose, he was still using it for the same purpose. He hadn't sold the maidservant to somebody else. He didn't sell the peiros. That's not what it means. He still kept it in the house, and that's why he allowed it, right? So it depends how you view the case. So v'hilchasa baal shamacha karkala peiros lo asav loklum. And the halacha is, if you would sell it, it actually taka wouldn't work. Okay, in my time, huh? So baya amar chayshinan shema tachzif. What are we nervous about? We're nervous maybe shema tachzif. Rashi says shema tachzif is like five lines down, the skinny lines. Shema tachzif hasada, right? Maybe the sada is going to get the field will get messed up, right? Shalo yachush halokeach lezavla. The purchaser. Again, it's not his field; it's that guy's wife's field, right? And he's not going to be careful to make sure that it's there's a right amount of fertilizer. It's not fertilized properly. Ula taiva dekasavar lamachar nafka minai. Tomorrow I'm going to lose it. And once I get divorced, the field's going to be taken from me, right? She'en aguf shali. The field's not even mine. I'm just using it, right? Avabal, but the husband mitzapa shema tamasi. He thinks maybe she's going to die while he's still alive. Right, this could really become valuable for him. So for the husband, we have confidence that the land's going to be kept in good shape. But if it's the if it's some guy who purchased the use of the payros from him, so we're nervous that it's going to get messed up. So it's not that it really is going to be, you know, that's not his to sell per se, but that we're nervous what's going to happen to him. So at least the bias is that. So, okay. So, and Rava Amar, Mishum Rava Besa. Rava says, no, the reason is because the purpose of the Nechsim Elug is to stay in the house, right? In this case, that you're shipping them elsewhere. So Mavin now, what's an afkamita between these two different approaches? Is it because of nervous that it's going to get used up and destroyed? Or is it because of a concern that you want to keep the finances in the house? So Ikebenayu, you know, three nafkaminas. Ikebenayu, Ara, Demikarav, Lamasa. So if one difference is, if the land is close to where they live. If the land is close to where they live, you're not nervous it's going to get used up and destroyed because the person can pay attention to it. But if it's about keeping the money in the family, the money's not in the family. Right? Inami bal arisu. Right? Another possibility is when the husband, and after me is if the husband is an aris. Why? Because if the husband is an aris, so what's going to happen in terms of keeping... look at Rashi. Inami bal arisu klomar shenosin lelokeach peros mizumanim. Right, meaning he's the aris, he works the field, and what does he do? He just ships the fruits to the guy that he sold the rights to. So what do you know? In terms of taking care of the field, he'll take care of the field. In terms of money staying in the family, the money won't stay in the family. Inami zuze, another case, what if it's money? Right, he's just doing business with the money. So if it's money he's doing business with, they're not worried the field's going to get messed up. But I am nervous about the... money not staying in the family. Fine. Okay. Next, Mishnah. Shemeres Yabam. Shemeres Yabam, Shenaf Lula Nachasid. So let's say you have a woman who is, again, she was married to a man, they had no children, and he has a brother. Husband passes away. Right? So husband passes away, and now she's waiting to do Yibam or Chalitza with that guy's brother. And in the meantime, she now inherited money. Okay? So she inherits the money now. So what happens? So modim beishamay beishilel shemocheres v'nosenes v'kayo, and that she can go ahead and she could sell the nechsim v'luk. She could give it away. Whatever she does with it is permissible. She's allowed to do business basically with the stuff she got at that point. Meaning, we don't say, wait a second, she's already connected to the yavam. She has a zika liyavam, and therefore she shouldn't be allowed to sell her nechsim v'luk. She's allowed to because again. Because she is at that point not married yet to the new husband. Fine. So Mesa, but what if she dies? So Mesa, ma yasu biksubasa ubinichasim hanichnasim vayotzimima. So if she dies, what do you do with the ksuba or with the things that she's gotten and sold, etc. Rashi is biksubasa binidunya. Right, and here ksuba doesn't mean ksuba; it means the dowry she brought into the marriage. We've seen that before. Right, Rashi binidunya sheikh nisa lo, right, that was brought in, you know, originally. Vishemi etan lo biksubasa vikiba lo achrayusan virashal hotziya. Right, that again was brought into the original marriage, and he kind of accepted rechrayus for, and they were able to do something with. Ubenechasim anechnasim vayotzimimah says Rashi hey nechsemiluk. And what about the nechsemiluk? Shaman osam alav. Right, we figure out how much value it is, but ain't no tzion, and that he's not allowed to sell. Elamisha nichnasa l'rishuso, only once she's married to him. Nichnasin ima ukushi yotza yotzin ima. Again, when she leaves with her. So what happens? Basically, the point being that the dowry she brought into the original marriage, right, seems to be connected to the new husband, and the nichsim milk she brought in probably not yet. So what are you going to do with that? So beishame omrim. So what do you do with that if she dies? So Bish Omrim Yechalku Yorshe Abal im Yorshe Ha'av. So Bishama says the Yorshim of the original husband split that with the Yorshim of her father. Bish Hila Omrim Nechasim Becheskasan Uksuba Becheskas Yorshe Habal. So Bish Hila says no. The Nechasim again stay with whoever's holding on to them. Right. So the nechasim becheskasan. Yeah, look at Rashi says beisila omrim nechasim ditzom barzal becheskasan. Right, they stay, where they started with, where they've been the whole time. Yeah, the Gemara in Baba Basra actually says, talks about who, you know, what does that mean? Who's the muchzak here? Right? Is that the Yorshei Abal? Is that the right, or the Yorshei Isha? But we'll have to see. But whoever is holding on to them keeps them. And the ksuba, the dowry that she brought in, that's becheskes Yorshei Habal. That again stays with the Yorshim of the husband, right? Because again, that was brought into the marriage. That was brought into the marriage originally. Okay, I think we're going to run out of time here. So we'll stop here and we'll finish up the Mishnah and that next tomorrow. Okay, shkarech.